Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 22nd, 2015. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can also be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Sounds like a lot to remember? Well, just go to prophecyhour.com, and on the right-hand side, scroll down, there's a thing that says End Time Radio Archives. Click on that. You'll find yourself at branch.podomatic.com, and it even has Apple and Android apps that you can download to your phone to make it easier, because I realize that more than 50% of the people nowadays are listening to radio on their smartphones. So anyway, go over there and hook up, and remember, you don't have to download the app if you don't want to, and you can just hit play, and it'll play. If you're on your computer, you can hit play, or you can download it, either one. A lot of you people are listening live on satellite, so just pray about it. I also, though, challenge you to share these radio programs with two or three other people. Well, first, we'll have a prayer in a second, and I just want to, something I want to point out real quick. Now, I don't know most of you, but I couldn't take it. I had to watch just little segments of the Benghazi hearings today, and I want to get this up before I get radio started, because I don't think our guests are going to want to talk about this anyway. But just a real big point. I'm glad to see that the emails have came, that the emails that they have discovered has come out and prove that while Hillary Clinton told the American people that it was because of a video, the very same night she emailed her daughter, Chelsea, and said it was a terrorist attack by an Al-Qaeda group. So she clearly knew from the first, and it was clearly a cover orchestrated by her from the truth. But anyway, so there's a lot of it on the news. If you go to prophecyhour.com, we have some breaking articles about that right there on prophecyhour.com. Go check it out. If you like the news and you want to know what's going on and what's breaking, go over there and check it out. Prophecyhour.com is like a hub for all of our ministries, whether it's our Wichita Homeless or Wichita Mission Church, or, you know, anything else, all the other, all the radio programs, everything. prophecyhour.com. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, nor my guest's will. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth and to see the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight our guest is most centered around talking about watching Iran and talking about Iran. He seems to have a really good course on what they're doing, but I'm not that sure that's really what we're going to talk about tonight. But anyway, he's the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to the End Times, and I'm telling you, this is a great book for you to get. If you have never got it, and it's you really need to read it. It is a very good book on the end times. He also wrote a book called Of the Last Days, The Watchman Guide series, which also includes The Watchman's Guide to the Time of the End, Watchman's Guide to Revelation, Watchman's Guide to the Rapture, Watchman's Guide to End Time Repentance, and The Watchman's Guide to Daniel's Prophecies. Now, I don't know if he's added to that list lately or not, but we'll ask him anyway. Let's bring on Richard Perry. Are you there with me, Richard?
Hello, Pastor Danny. I'm here with you.
Well, I'm sure glad to have you. You know, you've been coming on my radio program for a long time. Any idea how long?
I think it's been about 7 years.
Really? Has it been? I know it's been a while. Yeah, it seems. But, amen, you always got great things to talk about, and you're not somebody that I really have to worry about to be guarded that you're going to say something that, you know, I don't agree with or that's going to be off the wall. You know, as you know, I was talking to somebody in our congregation, and we were talking about getting radio guests. And he said, well, you know, he came to the conclusion that it ought to be a pretty simple thing to do. And I said, well, okay, well, why don't you help me out? Why don't you try and find some radio guests? And he says, all right, I will. And so, and I'll hurry with this. But anyway, so he sent me in the next couple of days, he sent me about 30 or 40 links to people that have wrote books and things, you know, on the end times and everything. And out of that, I was not able to use one of them because of either strange ideas, really strong pre-trib rapture, just a whole course of things that they, you know, while they were out there on the internet, didn't mean they were worth talking to, and not trying to pick on anybody. So then after I confronted that and showed him that he changed his mind, and so for the last 2 weeks he's been searching to find somebody that seems credible, and guess what, he hasn't sent me one email. Oh my, there's just so much stuff out there. But doesn't that show us, I mean, isn't that go along with where we're at in this world?
It really does. You know, scripture talks about this. You know, it talks about, one of the things that I like to bring up is the scripture. Christ, when he was talking to the disciples about the time of the end and his return, which we call the Olivet Discourse, which is recorded in Matthew 24, and Mark 13, and Luke 21. But during that, in Matthew 25, he tells this parable about the time of the end. And the parable is called the parable of the 10 virgins. And he says, at that time, which is about the time of the end, he says, there will be 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And then he goes on to say, they were waiting for the bridegroom to come, but they all became drowsy and fell asleep. All 10, the wise and the foolish, fell asleep. And then something happened, and all 10 woke up. You know, there was a cry rang out, there was this command to come out, to meet him, you know, and it's just that's one of the big things I think that is waiting to occur, because what I see in my, dialogue with people about prophecy.
Right.
Is that they're unfamiliar with scripture. They either teach or think out of their own imagination, or they're teaching from somebody else's commentary, oftentimes hundreds of years old, you know, in other words, things that have been taught for a long time, which includes the rapture these days, by the way. You know, so I see that the church is asleep, and being asleep is unable to recognize the things that are at hand.
Right. Well, let's go with this. You know, and In fact, these people have just caught a hold of me. These people by the name of Kingdom, they sell DVDs and blank DVDs and equipment and stuff for churches, you know. And I went to one of their meetings they have in Wichita every once in a while where they try to, you know, sell you something new. And the last time that I went, and now it's been about, oh gosh, 8-9 years ago, and they were trying to sell a Bible on DVD. And their excuse was is because only 3% of the people in the United States actually read the Bible, and that we were now in an audio-video society. And then they were pushing more audio, not video. But I imagine this time they're going to push audio or video because they've invited me back to a free dinner next week. But anyway, point being is people don't. We're in an age where people just aren't reading their Bible. And what little bit of scripture they do know is like what you said, they're being spoon-fed by either, you know, a preacher that gives a maybe a half a scripture or something and tells them what it's all about, or, you know, when they do read something, it's something that's been around for so long without really looking into it. And so that I think that makes them asleep, you know, and that and the willingness to be politically correct is the other problem I see.
Yeah. Well, and another problem that the Bible points out, and right all the way through Scripture, God contrasts his ways versus the ways of men. And in the very center verses of the Bible, like Psalm 118, 6, he talks about, you know, to trust or to take refuge. In other words, seek your safety in God himself. Do not trust in man. Seek your safety in God. Do not trust in princes. That's men of high position. In other words, you know, people tend to be lazy and would prefer somebody else do the work and tell them what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But God says we're supposed to be like the Bereans, a noble people who listen to what other people say and then check the scripture to see if it's true or not. But today, Christians don't study Scripture. They're not even knowledgeable enough to do a search of Scripture to find out what people are saying, if it's true or not. In other words, there's a real serious problem in the household of God, and that's biblical illiteracy. Just like Hosea prophesied, there'll be a famine for the Word of God. And that's basically where we are.
I'll let you get into that. Let me address something that you just said, please, and then I want you to give me the other problem. Well, that is really, really sad that there's such a scripture famine, because never before ever have we had the ability to do what we can do now and search the scriptures and search old things. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, with the internet, while there's a lot of false things, there's very easy way to, you know, you can search your Bible, you know, by doing keyword searches. It's just fantastic, the tools that we have, but they're not using them. They're using them instead for who knows what they're searching for out there. I guess everything but Scripture. Back to you.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's like, you know, I've been studying the way I've been studying, you know, I've been with the Lord now for about 35 years, and it's been in the last, well, I'd say it has to be like maybe around 18 years that, you know, I study with multiple translations, and then I use the computer a lot. You can use the online, or you can get software programs like Olive Branch or Olive Tree or something like that. Really powerful programs that have multiple translations, that have concordances on Greek and Hebrew, so you can see the Greek and Hebrew words that are used. And you can really dig into Scripture and get things out of it that your pastor doesn't know. I mean, and it's really easy. And like you say, it's available for anybody that really wanted to do this. But the other thing that I was going to mention, Dan, is that there's a mystery in the Bible, and it was given during the time that God gave the law. It's in Deuteronomy. But probably the most notable place for people that they, if they're aware of it, they would probably know it from Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 12:9. God told Daniel to go his way. And he said these words are closed and sealed until the time of the end.
Right.
In other words, God is indicating that, you know, something would change at the time of the end that would cause things to be unsealed and opened, which gives you the indication that when this happens, people are going to be able to see what God, understand what God has said, and see it happen. In other words, I'm convinced from the things that the Lord has, you know, that I've heard from the Lord, both through the Spirit and through the Bible study, that there are things in the Old Testament prophets, there's things in Revelation, there's things that we're going to see very soon. In other words, not, you know, at the time of the second coming, but maybe a decade or two before that. And they're about to happen. I, you know, I've been saying this, you know, through your radio show and every other place I can, the things that I've heard from the Lord. And one of the things I've heard from the Lord is that Iran is going to start Revelation's Second Seal War.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. And then when that happens, shortly thereafter, U.S. creditors will wake up and cause a financial crisis that'll start in the United States of America. You know, and referenced in the Bible is in Babylon, in end time Babylon. And then it says this to me, Obama will stumble and fall and everybody will taunt him with ridicule and scorn. Now this is a prophecy in Habakkuk about the leader of the end time Babylonians. And I've been convinced by the Lord and my study that this is going to happen while Obama's still in office. And I expect his term in office will be another year and a half maximum, or it's a year, it's 5 months now, I guess.
Right.
But while Obama's in office, still in office in his second term, Iran's going to start a war, and then there's going to be a financial collapse starting in the United States that will be caused by creditors of the United States, like China, like Russia, Japan, Middle East, other people.
Right.
But when that happens, this war and the devastation that Iran causes and that we cause is going to cause all, it's going to be the fulfillment of the parable of the ten virgins. In other words, all ten virgins are going to wake up and realize that the time of the end has come and that the bridegroom will be returning. In other words, he's not back yet, but they'll see clearly that he's returning. Which brings me to the topic that I really wanted to discuss tonight.
Right. Okay.
Which was? Go ahead.
Well, I had a question. They're wondering about whether or not you're thinking that Iran will leave their borders, you know what I mean, to start a war with the United States, or will it be something that we do, you know, that doesn't...
Well, I would guess, and it's just a guess, the thing that's clear to me is that Iran will start the Revelation Second Seal War. The Second Seal War is the red horse and its rider. And a horse and rider is a leader and his army, or a military and the leader of that.
Mm-hmm.
So each of those first four seals, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse, are spiritual horses that Zechariah talks about, but they also represent armies. A horse and rider is an army or a military and their leader, just like the Pharaoh and his army were a horse and rider, and they were thrown into the sea.
Right.
Pharaoh and his army were thrown into the sea. Okay, so we know what a horse and rider is in the seals of Revelation. It's a horse and rider. So then you got to figure out, you know, the different colored horses and which way they go, north, south, east, and west from Israel. You know, so you can kind of figure out who the first seal was.
Right.
And then when you see that, you maybe can figure out that Iran is going to be the next biblical prophecy to be fulfilled. And it's going to be fulfilled while Obama's still in office. In other words, I'm setting a time frame here, and I'm making a prediction. So if this doesn't happen, then I'm a false prophet. I'm a false messenger of God.
I've misled
people. But I'm so sure this is what God has told me and shown me and taught me, that I'm making a declaration. Because if I didn't, I would be negligent in my responsibilities.
Right.
So I believe wholeheartedly that Iran is going to start a war.
Okay, we're going about it.
Oh, by the way.
What?
It's not going to attack New York City. Iran will start a war, and the Bible describes it as an ambush. I believe they will ambush our Fifth Fleet somewhere in the Persian Gulf region at some time in the next several months, and that's going to start the Revelations War. They're going to ambush our Navy.
Okay. Let me jump in here real quick, because I want to get it in before break so we can come back and talk about the other subject tonight. But just real quickly, right now, Iran is already doing a proxy war with, backing Hezbollah and Hamas over there right now. Anyway, there's already a proxy war going on, and we're even in a proxy war with Russia. So for this to step out of bounds and actually part of our fleet, these people are in such close calls over there that it could very well unintentionally happen without either side really trying to do it. You know what I mean? Just getting in each other's ways, because everybody's running over everybody else over there right now. So the potential for what you're saying to happen is really right there on the brink, and could happen with Iran, or somebody would say, well, it could happen with Russia too. Yeah, it could happen with Russia too, but I'm looking more towards Iran. Anyway, real quick, Richard, we got 30 seconds before break. Tell them how to find you.
My name is Richard H, as in hotel, Perry, P-E-R-R-Y. Just Google Richard H. Perry, and you'll find my website, YouTube videos, books, anything you want.
All right. Just Google his name, Richard H. Perry, and he also has a website called lastdaysmystery.info. There's a lot of things over there which will help you find him in other places. And it's not outdated. There's a lot of things that are really a good study over there, so check him out. And also, you can find him on Amazon, or just like he said, Google Richard H. Perry. And we'll be back in 3 minutes, not 30.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas, that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com, or simply call 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886.
Time.
Welcome back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help, folks, because it's only people like you that has kept us going, that we're now in our 16th year. We don't get any help from any organized churches. You know, we're the weirdos down the street. You know that even if I, here's a good one for you, even if I call the police per se on somebody for some reason, they always will, and this has been over the years, they always go, okay, yeah, we'll send somebody out, talk to that person. Do they ever show up? No, the police doesn't ever even show up. Because even one of them told me, he said, yeah, Pastor Dan, we think that you're a legend and you do all these things. And I said, well, it ain't me, it's the Lord. He said, but you know, as far as coming out here, he said, we let you handle your own things. Well, so, you know, it's kind of like we're an island. While people recognize that we're doing great things for people, and it isn't us, it's the Father that does them, but, you know, they ignore us. They extend no help, no opportunity. I mean, they're those messianic weirdos down the street that are caring for the poor. You know, I mean, that's just like the way it is. We have tried to get support from Wichita, Kansas, ever since we've been there, and we have been doing this 16 years, and there's a few people that give us a little bit of help, you know, but not much at all. Not when you consider that we are helping the people in their city and helping some of their some of them may have, that listen to this radio program and know about us, may have relatives that are into homelessness. And, you know, what do they do with their money? Well, I'm not saying they don't support homeless projects over there or mission churches, but they do to the big mainstream agencies. You know, they donate to the food bank. The food bank that if you buy it, you get food from them, you got to buy it, you know, if the agencies get it. So my point is this. They help all the big people out, and the little people like us, well, they just ignore. Or maybe, well, we can't help them because they don't think like us. They don't do the same holidays as us. And so, you know, we get no help from Wichita. In fact, I was told by somebody that worked at a bank that was a fundraiser for us a few years ago. He told me, he pointed, he says, Pastor Danny, so I know what your problem is with fundraising in Wichita. I said, well, what's that? And we were standing in my office, and I had an Israeli flag behind me covering my closet door. And he pointed to the flag, you know, which, you know, of course, is a Star of David. He said, that's your problem. That's why I can't get you any help. And so, you know, because we support Israel, that's what he says. I don't know. But I know we need your help. People think that, well, he's on radio and everything. So I know that there's thousands of people listening to him. So he must be getting rich. He's not hurting. Well, out of the people that listen to us, only a small percent, you know, donate. Because, you know, I don't blame them. Radio's free. So that's their outlook. And, by the way, airtime isn't free. We're on satellite radio, and we're on some FM stations in Oregon. You know, it really does cost for radio airtime, and it costs for, you know, it costs to put it up in the podcast site off afterwards. It costs for the electricity and for the research. So radio isn't free. We do need your support, especially when we're a ministry that we don't sell anything. So if we don't sell anything, we don't sell anything. So people want something for their money. And you know what? There are so many poor people out there. You know, it takes a lot of money to do what we do. So pray about it. So why do many people come to us for help instead of those agencies that I was telling you about? Well, love is the first answer. They come to our place, they're treated as family. They're given a relationship. Second, beyond that, we don't have any guidelines like programs. People walk in the door and ask for what they need, and that's the program, so to speak. If I have what they need and I can fill it and I believe it's legitimate, I'll fill that need. And if I don't, we pray about it and we pray it in. So this is why even the agencies, at least their employees, tell the people about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the very last hope for so many, and folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or you can call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Richard Perry talking about different things. And are you there with us, Richard?
Still here, Dan.
Still here. And that's good to hear and see. And so, now going in this part, you said you wanted to talk about repentance, if I got that right.
Yes. In other words, I started talking about, you know, things that were going to happen. During the time of the end, a lot of bad things that are going to happen in the world. There's going to be wars, famines, plagues, earthquakes, and stuff like that. All indications of the Lord's return. But this parable of the 10 virgins, when all 10 virgins wake up, you know, one of the things a few years ago when the Lord showed me this, I asked him the question, what are we supposed to do when we wake up? And you know how I study using a computer and a concordance and stuff like that. Right. And I ended up finding a reference to the wake up and what God says about the wake up call. And it's in Proverbs. It's in Proverbs 6, and it's 6:20, 6:21, 6:22. I'm just going to tell you what it says, but, you know, you can look it up, folks, if you got your Bible. But God says, my son, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake the law. He says, bind them on your heart forever. In other words, this isn't a temporary thing. This is an eternal thing. He said, fasten them around your neck. When you walk, the law and the commandments will guide you. When you sleep, the law and the commandments will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way of life. In other words, if you remember the parable of the 10 virgins, all 10 virgins took lamps, but only the wise took oil. So we're talking about lighting a lamp, and this is what it's talking about when you adhere to the law and the commandments of God. Now, I know, I'm sure that, you know, amongst your listeners, there are people that claim to be Christians, and there are maybe some messianics, and who knows, maybe there are some people just wondering what the heck's going on. But if, you know, for all of us that have had a Christian background, before we become more messianic, which is like the whole Bible, we realize that in Christianity we're told that something significant changed with Christ. And while that's true, Christianity gives us the impression that we don't have to obey God's commandments and laws anymore now that Christ has come and made his sacrifice. But that's not what Christ said. Christ said, let me read you from Matthew 7, where Christ is speaking and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is the destination, is the eternal destination for all of his people, all those that follow Christ. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And you say, well, wait a minute. That's pretty easy to understand because the whole Testament references God the Father's, you know, commands and will. So Christ is saying that if we're going to enter the kingdom, we have to be obedient or we have to do the Father's will. And,
yeah,
you know, so the other thing is that, you know, somehow God changed with the new covenant. And God doesn't change. We know from Malachi, God says, you know, I, Yehovah, which is the Lord, I do not change. He said, don't turn away from my decrees. And he says, return to me, and I will return to you. says Yehovah. In other words, God says he doesn't change, and he indicates that he doesn't change his ways. And in the prophet Habakkuk, which is, you know, one of my favorites, in Habakkuk 3:6, which is a parallel verse to Malachi, it says, talking about God, it says, his ways are eternal. Well, eternal means no beginning, no end, no interruption. In other words, God's ways, his laws and his commandments are eternal. When we wake up, you know, when all 10 virgins wake up, all of God's people need to recognize that the law and the commandments are what are supposed to be guiding us. Because it's when we wake up, they will speak to us. But if they won't speak to us if we don't read them. They won't speak to us if we don't seek out what are his commandments and his laws of this unchanging God. And I'll say one more thing, you know, to try to draw my point to this. If you read in Revelation about the end time prophecies,
right,
you'll find, I think it's in chapter 12, 18, right, I think it's the last verse of chapter 12. It talks about God's people and it says they obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The testimony of Jesus is pretty self-evident. All Christians know about that kind of thing. But it says they're also supposed to be obeying God's commandments, which, of course, Jesus did, and he also told us should, but we don't because we've invented other holidays like Christmas and Easter as opposed to God's holidays, and we've invented a new Sabbath, Sunday, in place of God's seventh-day Sabbath. In other words, when we wake up and realize, oh, my God, this is the time of the end, this is a disaster that's been prophesied in the Bible, and now we know for sure that the Lord's return is approaching, what do we need to do? Well, besides being ready for the next war and the next catastrophe that God has told us about, we need to start doing what God tells us to do. And I have an easy solution for that. Is all, you put down all the other Christian books you've ever thought about reading, ever read, and basically put them in the back room and lock the room and throw away the key. Start reading your Bible. Start reading your Bible over and over again until you understand what God is saying. And then just do what he says.
All right, let me come in a minute.
Okay.
I chuckled when you said, put all the books up and lock them in another room, and because of a reason, you know, when I clear back in the 90s, after I was, you know, I was studying a lot of books like that. Everybody had a book back in the 90s about, you know, the end times and everything, and so I'd read one book, and then, you know, okay, well, that sounds pretty cool, and then I read another one, and finally, you know, it was one of those, he spoke to me and he told me to devote the time to his book. And so I put away reading those books and I just started reading and reading and reading the Bible. And my clarity came back. The Bible's a pretty easy, to me, the Bible is a pretty easy book to understand if you will put away all those other things and start at the back of the book and just read it through. You can see a really, picture. And, in fact, when I got to the end of it and started over, you know, I started realizing how, like the Sunday Sabbath. The Sunday Sabbath, once a person understands what really happened with that and how we ended up, you know, not worshiping on the seventh day, we can see clearly what time that we're living in, because the awareness to that was, to me, the awareness of the end times. And, you know, and it wasn't done by man. It was done by man. It wasn't done by God. It's just not there. Even though everybody said it was there and the change was there, it was not there. It was just a big lie, just as so much of the other things, whether it is following the other holidays or whatever, you know. People talk about how biblical they are because they go out and have manger scenes and all these things. And the things that they put in their manger scenes aren't even there, like the three kings. They didn't come for a couple years later, you know? How's that biblical? You know what? But it's clear, though, if you just read the Bible. But I guess people have just gotten lazy about it. I don't know. There's too much.
And it's
probably that's part of what's wrong with our society, Richard, is because we have too many distractions, too many ways to entertain, so on and so forth. Back to you.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. What's wrong with our society is, you know, our society is, for the most part, is the world. The difficulty is that God's people, I mean, the people that follow the God of the Bible, whatever your version is, whether you're a Christian or Jewish or Messianic, you're all following the same God. Now, everybody has a different understanding about that. But if you really follow God and obey his commandments, because that is love to God, is obedience to his commandments, then you become salt and light to the people and the world around you. And God's people are supposed to be salt and light. We're not supposed to change the world. We're supposed to change ourselves, and then the people of the world will see it, and then they can decide for themselves whether it makes any sense for them, you know? We need to be the salt and light. We need to be obedient to God's commandments. Listen to what he said in the law in Deuteronomy 12. And he's talking to his people, and he's telling them, you're going to go into the land where you're going to find different kinds of worship and stuff. And he says in Deuteronomy 12, he says, you must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things that I hate. He said, see that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it. Now, how clear is that? He says, don't worship me their way. Don't adopt their ways of worship on Sunday and Easter and Christmas. Don't do that. I hate that, he says. Just do what I tell you and do everything I tell you. Don't add anything to it and don't take anything away from it. Just do what I tell you. That's all. It's not burdensome. It's just very different from what most people are doing today.
Right,
but
absolutely.
That's what God is calling his...
Okay, let me ask you a question. Now, whether we want to... We can sit here and call it many things, but we see a lot of people going back to, you know, especially like this on the Feast of Tabernacles. There's so many people out there doing it, you know. And some of it call it Hebrew roots, some call it Messianic, and so on and so forth. My question to you is this. Do you think, is it possible that these people that are catching on to that is that's what they're, you know, is that part of this, do you think? Do you think this is a call back? Or what do you think about it? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I've been part of a Messianic fellowship. I have a lot of friends that are in various Messianic fellowships. I end up having the Lord take me out of the Messianic fellowships, and I'll tell you why.
I'd like to know
why. He took me out because he said he was showing me that these people, what they're doing is a lot of them were previously Christians. They recognized that Christianity was, was wrong about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and Sunday. Right. So they started looking around, and then they find the Messianic fellowships and, you know, that are keeping the feast and they're, you know, worshiping and keeping the Sabbath the way, you know, pretty much the way it should be. But what I have found in every case with the Messianic fellowships that I'm familiar with is that too many of them are following Jewish traditions in their worship and in their various practices and some of their teaching. In other words, most Messianic fellowships follow a parsha, a three-year cycle through the five books of the Torah and a sprinkling of the prophets and a sprinkling of the New Testament, but they never cover all the prophets or all the New Testament. But every 3 years, they cover the whole five books of the Torah. In other words, they dwell on the Torah. but they don't dwell on the prophets, which means they don't know what's going to happen. Christianity, they dwell on the New Testament. They don't even know what the prophets say. I mean, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, all those prophets are telling us more about the time of the end, the time just before the day of the Lord, than the whole New Testament combined. In other words,
yeah,
our future is in the prophets.
I get that, and I want to address this. I'm dying for somebody to get me into this position where I could say something about this. Okay, let me start with just a couple. It's going to take a couple of minutes, so just hang with me, Richard. Okay, first off,
okay,
we're talking about when I say Messianic. When I say Messianic, 90% of the time I'm talking about there's a Messianic congregation. That means it's not one that's been started by a Gentile. It has Jews and Gentiles in it. And they do go, like Richard said, along with the liturgy or whatever, and do a lot of Jewish, traditional things. That is what the early church did. They didn't throw away their ideas. They kept doing them, but plus they added to it. But we're talking, 2,000 years later. Okay, so you have one side of the picture there. Then you have the Hebrew roots category, which is people like Christians, Gentiles, that discovered, that Christmas and Easter and some things are wrong. And so they're run out there and they get into these groups. But they but they also have an aversion to doing anything that's Jewish. They won't interact. The calendar is a great example of that. That's why they came up with their own calendar, the spotted moon and all that, where they have no authority to go looking for the spotted moon, let alone it's there just because you can't see it because of a cloud cover in one county or one part of the city. It's still there, according to the telescope. My point is this, and there is actually a war between them, and the factions are broken up, but I still believe that those things are great. But like Richard says, they're missing something. One group does a whole bunch of one thing, another group does a whole bunch of other, which all is good, but you need the Bible in a whole. You can't just devote yourself to 100% Torah. I believe that you need the Torah to understand the New Testament properly, but you can't just live every week, every day, just in the Torah without having the New Testament light shine on it too also. And then the people out there, they go around and they talk about Revelation and they want to talk about, all of that going on. Well, but Revelation is just what, Richard? Just a little tiny summary of what the prophets say?
If you've ever read a Reader's Digest book, Revelation is kind of a Reader's Digest version of all the things that God has said about his return and the time of the end and his coming kingdom. The prophets, that God has provided all the details in the prophets. And then he gives you the Reader's Digest version in Revelation. But the problem is in Revelation, he uses a lot of code words that he had used with the prophets. In other words, the words he said to Isaiah are the same words in Revelation.
Yeah.
The words he said to Jeremiah, same in Revelation. In other words, I can tell you that chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation about Mystery Babylon the Great, you're going to find the same words in Isaiah 50 and 51. In other words, you're going to say, well, wow, look, Isaiah 51 and 50, 50 and 51 have more detail about Mystery Babylon the Great, that's end time Babylon, than Revelation ever even thought of. I mean, Revelation is just a Reader's Digest version of the prophets.
I've never heard it called that, but that's really a great analogy of it. But let's go with this. Folks, you need the whole Bible. You need all of it. That's why commandments of the Father and the faith of Yeshua. Those two go together. You have to have both, and that's the picture of the end time church. That is one that studies the whole Bible and not just part of it. Richard, I'm glad you've been on with me, and we'll do it again. We really run out of time. We've just been talking too much.
That's okay.
Okay. Tell them how to find you again, and I'm going to have to tell you goodbye, brother.
Okay. Good to talk to you, Dan.
All right. Folks, you can find Richard by Googling Richard H. Perry, Richard H. Perry, or go to lastdaysmystery.com. All right. You've been a blessing, Richard. Thanks for being on with me. Be blessed.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
Yeah, amen. Anyway, I love Richard. He's got a good sense of humor. But, you know, and I'm not picking on any faction, but, you know, when I consider myself Messianic, because if you look in the Bible and you look up the word Christian, it actually says it's actually Messianic, which it all means one thing. It means Messiah-like, being like Messiah. Messiah studied all the scriptures that he had. By the way, the only scriptures that he had in that day were the Tanakh. Or that's the Old Testament. But we have to have the New Testament too. You can't just have one. But if you understand and read the Old Testament, then when you come to the New Testament, you'll understand the catchwords and the phrases and all those things that Richard was talking about. So read all of your Bible, folks. Anyway, I got to get out of here. But you must remember that there is only one God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.